Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. We have New Japan Jared, the Go Home Heat Kid Ray, Jushin, Thunder, Brain, Justin.
Still doing it.
That joke is so dead.
So good.
It's so good.
It gets better with time, like wine.
It's Jushin's career.
Okay, so we're going to mow through the week in pro wrestling or AEW Impact right now is all that's kind of going on, so we're going to talk about them. Tony Giovanni and Cody do AEW Dark. I think I'm the only one who watched this, so I'll just kind of mow through that. I think I was the only one who got to watch Impact as well, so I kind of mowed through that.
So if you had to compare Cody Rhodes' commentary abilities with Chris Jericho's commentary abilities, what star ranking would you give Cody Rhodes compared to Chris Jericho?
I'd give him 3 stars.
I think that's a fair estimate.
Hey, I mean, it's true.
Cody's better than 3 stars at commentating.
He's our 3-star
four
general.
Stars. 3.5.
He's 4 stars.
If we compare him to Chris plus. Jericho, though.
Jericho's 5.
Yeah. So
Jericho's 5-star commentator. He's 3.
Is Cody four. Rhodes really four. That close to Chris
Whoa.
Jericho?
Yes.
Or is he more middle of the road, if you
will? Well,
middle
let's, I'll
of
put it
the
this
road.
Way, I'll put it this way, though.
Got him.
Got him.
Jericho is more...
informative,
Jesse the Body Ventura.
That's exactly what I was thinking the whole time. Yes, Jesse Ventura.
Cody is more of a Gordon Solie.
Okay, I see that.
I can explain why this hold goes into that hold, while this style wrestling is that style wrestling, how this all evolved from Southern wrestling, or this all looks like the Lucha Libre style. It's much more almost analytical than that.
I'll give you the college football example. It's like he's more, you know, your Lee Corso-y kind of Chris Jericho is, and
Herb Street, yeah, that's very good analogy there. Anna Joy versus Penelope Ford with Kip Sabian. Joy looks for an STO. Ford fights her off. Ford gets the stunner and the fisherman suplex. This was a really good women's match for this company.
Ford
really
is
was.
Legitimately the...
So is this other girl.
Yeah.
What? Anna Joy. She looks a little bit like the DC comic book hero.
Zatanna,
yeah. And Cody points that stuff out. Cody doesn't miss your comic book references or your
oh,
Star
I will
Trek
go watch
references.
That. He gives a Zatanna? Zatanna?
Yeah.
I mean, the magician?
She looks just like her.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go watch this. I'm going to go watch
she's
this
She's pretty
now.
Good. Evidently, she's like real green, but she's real good for being that green.
Yeah.
Would you say she's already better than Sheeta? Who's getting a push? Whoa. And I'm not shooting. I'm being honest. Would you say she's?
Let's see her wrestle more than one match.
I will say this. Yeah. Penelope Ford is.
Penelope Ford is for sure.
Penelope Ford might be the best wrestler in the company right now.
Yeah, I could see that.
She might be, but we don't know yet because we haven't seen her in a scenario where she's stretching it out for 10 minutes, 12 minutes.
It reminds me of like in WWE, Zelina Vega is a manager when she is legitimately. One of the most spectacular wrestlers you'll see.
She's great.
She is spectacular.
Yes. Okay. Cody with Brandy versus Joe...
Alonzo.
Fairly competitive.
Really?
I didn't get it, though, because, like, what? Cody took, like, a DDT. Okay, so the premise of the match is basically we're wrestling back and forth, and Cody's kind of taking it seriously, and then the guy kind of does a couple things towards Brandy that irritate him, and he gets real mad. But then Cody kind of falls into a DDT and just no-sells it and stands up and, like, punches himself in the face like he's mad and then finishes him off. But then walks
now
over.
That's weird.
But then walks over and shakes his hand afterwards. Like, sticks his hand. It's like, well, I don't get, but anyway.
Mixed messages.
So
wasn't quite 3 stars.
So what you're telling me is that once again, Cody Rhodes has found somebody else's gimmick to use, because that sounds pretty Hulk Hogan-y almost.
But I think that was just for that one scenario, that one match.
Well, yeah, he only came out dressed as in half of a Starfleet uniform for one match.
Wait, so you're telling me that he's actually telling different stories inside of different stories, inside of a character arc every week?
I'm saying he's lifting stuff at random.
The layers of Cody. He's like an onion.
Yes, this man's a genius.
Not like the onion.
But an onion.
Right.
Yes. Like an ogre.
Yes. Okay, moving on. Impact.
Nice Shrek reference.
Josh and Madison Rain. We get Rebellion this week. Ohio over everything. Winds up wrestling Tommy Dreamer. Rhino spears Dave Chris for the pin. It was competitive. Crazy Steve was involved in this triple thing.
Really?
Has not been around in a long time. And Crazy Steve seemed afraid of Madman Fulton, which was confusing to me because I would not think that a person who's gimmick is being crazy would be afraid of someone, but he left the ring every time Madman Fulton got in there. Go ahead.
That's crazy with two Z's, right?
Yes.
Is that like I spelled it wrong on my paper. That like Kizarni?
Yeah.
It's like Pizzils. It's like Pizzils. Fun spots though. It was cool. It was all right. Like Madman Fulton. No, Dave Chris did the kick up and. Then Dreamer was on the ground, and he tried, and then he tried, and then he tried, and then Steve and Rhino came in and grabbed his arms and pulled him up.
It's a good spot.
Okay.
Know your product, know what you are, and be it.
Absolutely. That's there what will, Impact's great at.
There will be no title match. Tessa was in Mexico with her significant other fiance.
Daga.
And... Edwards just, I guess, didn't. He kind of did a promo where he was just like, I don't feel safe being there. That was like the gist of what I got out of it. Maybe I wasn't paying attention like I should have, but that's what it felt like. And then Elgin said they're both scared of me. And
they're scared of the Rona.
But then Elgin pointed out that he was a child prodigy in pro wrestling. And that
I thought he was going to say piano.
You're going to want to listen to this because I did not know any of this about
Snyder Logic.
This was, well, he just explained to me who he was. I had no idea. I thought I knew a little bit about wrestling, but I don't. He, in ROH, he fought the best of the best. Samoa Joe, all those, you know, Punk, all those guys. He was a child prodigy during the, then he went to New Japan and dominated over there. Then he comes back to Impact Wrestling because if you're going to be anything in pro wrestling, you have to beat the best of the best, which is Impact. Like Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, AJ Styles, all of which I guess are about to sign contracts there.
Wow, amazing.
I did not know, but good for him. I didn't realize he was a prodigy. I didn't realize how he had dominated the pro wrestling world like he has.
I was not aware of that
New
either.
Japan, Jared, did you know he dominated Japan?
He had the IC belt. I mean...
Okay.
He wasn't booked weak.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Rascals... versus XXXL versus TJP and Falabala. The Rascals wind up going over this time. Now, the reason for this was there wasn't a championship match in that either because the North are the North, so they went home to the North in Canada and couldn't get back in.
Nope.
Yeah. And they said, you may feel bad for us because we can't get into the United States, but don't because we're in Canada.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why when God created the Earth, He put us on top of you.
Dude, I love the North.
Somebody's got to carry your maple syrup drinking selves.
That wasn't what he said. That may be what you said. That's not what he said.
I don't want to hear it, County. What was it? What was his name? What was the Mountie?
The Mountie.
Not the Mountie, the wrestler. No, was it Dudley Do Right? Was Dudley Do Right a Mountie? I don't remember.
Okay.
But yeah.
Austin.
I don't know enough Mountie references.
Ace Austin versus Willie Mack and New. Willie Mack wins. It was a good little match. They're going to go party afterwards. Rich Swann and him are together. But the real tag team partner shows up, Johnny Swinger. It says, hey, even though the Mack and Pack connection are no longer together, I want you to know I'm here for you. I got the Pizzils. I got the Rizzats. I'm going to go get the Cadillac. He points at Rich Swann. He says, you don't mind sitting in the back, do you? And then he walks off to go get the caddy. And Willie Mack and Rich Swann is noticeably irritated.
Yeah.
And Willie Mack says, well, we're just going to not wait here. We're going to go out that door. And so they leave, evidently, in order not to be partners with Swinger tonight on the party train, which I would guess that even without Willie Mack, Johnny Swinger is going partying with the Pizzils and the Rizzats.
Well, yeah. I would bet that there's good chance that he never would have shown up with the Cadillac. He's probably passed out in St. Cadillac with the pills.
He just drives.
And no wallet, because the Rizzats left with his wallet.
Yes. Yes. But he does want the first shot at Max title coming up. Kylie Rae versus Kiera Hogan is next, and it was great. Kylie is a star in my notes. Kiera was great too, but Kylie is really good in the ring, and she was stiff and violent and all those things that her character doesn't present off the ring. And I wrote in my notes, I hope AEW didn't watch this, because I get that this is a better move for her, but they could really use her over there. She is so good. There was a disconnect with me. I did not realize how good she is. Then I'm watching this last match, and I'm like, wow. Okay. So then Sami Callihan versus Ken Shamrock, and they have a rough battle around the building.
Slobber knocker.
Yeah, and then OVE tries to help, and he hits, and Sami actually winds up hitting the OVE guys with a bat or something, wood, something, and a steel pipe, whatever. Takes them out, and then Shamrock winds up getting him into like a submission, and he passes out due to pain. And so we move on from that.
What submission did he put him in to pass him out due to pain?
I don't know. It was something. He was painful. It hurt. You don't like Ken Shamrock's submission game?
I believe I would try to pretend I was asleep to hope Ken Shamrock would let go of me, because I think he's mentally unhinged at this point in his life. I would probably try to play dead, but I'm just saying that that's not how that works. When you're in extreme pain, the amount of pain it would take to make you pass out, you don't want to get there.
But Stone Cold did it.
What's Stone Cold kind of being choked in the same?
No,
his chest was being sat on. You could argue positional asphyxiation.
Well, he was bleeding too.
Yeah.
Blood loss.
Kind of bled out.
Bled out.
I still that like.
That implies death.
Yeah. He was the sharpshooter, you're sitting on the dude's, because his chest is being compressed, so you could pass somebody out from that.
See, I thought when he said that his chest was compressed, I was like assuming it was like Yokozuna.
No, it was in the sharpshooter.
Bret Hart.
Yeah, Bret Hart put in the sharpshooter and bent back on him, so his chest is pressed. So you can technically do that. You know.
But instead he bled out.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
And died.
Died.
What a dark end.
Dun, dun, dun.
Next season.
Blood from a stone.
The Undertaker and Papa Shango brought him back to life, though.
That was a great episode of Raw that didn't happen.
Yes.
It would have been a good episode.
On to Dynamite. Jericho and Tony on commentary. The five-star Le Champion.
Le Champion.
Sammy Guevara versus Darby Allin. Sammy jumped Darby prior to the bell off the advice of Jericho. Puts a ladder up, throws Darby against the barricade, so the ladder falls to the ground. Has to go pick up the ladder again. Puts it back over there, and then they do a spot where...
Oh, it looked tight. It looked painful.
Sammy does a frog splash onto him, and yikers. The ladder did not
move.
And he crunched his guts. Ring the bell. We start the match.
I mean, he looked okay after that.
Yeah. So. Yep. Darby does body part work. Rips his shoe off.
The shoe to... I love that. I love the... I love this match in general.
This match was great.
They look. But that shoe spot where he starts going for toe holds and stuff like that was slick.
Mm-hmm. He hits a 540 splash in there somewhere, Sammy does. Darby grabs the bottom rope. Knee strike, Last Supper. Darby wins.
Like the Last Supper.
We loved it, right?
I did. Good stuff. True. And Jericho, man, on commentary.
Yeah. He put it all
so
over.
Funny.
He put it all over. Now, Matt Hardy's from the compound. He goes from broken to regular Matt. And he starts with the wacky stuff and then slides. He does invite Sammy to come take that whooping at the compound in a more festive way than I just said. Then... when he comes back with the leather jacket on and just talking, he talks about protecting the youth and all of that, and that he's going to beat up all of the
inner
circle
people.
He's going
to protect the youth by beating up Sammy Guevara.
He's going to protect the youth by beating up the younger talent to get to the older talent.
Exactly. That's how it works. Okay. Logic!
Anyway, I did like this segment.
Oh, I did too.
I like the fact that they went to regular Matt Hardy in there.
I do enjoy that. It's not something you see very often.
And Matt is good at promos. He has a matter of fact, I will. attitude about
things. Yeah, when he's not trying to do a promo, he's much better. Like, that stuff he did with Randy Orton right before he got the can over there was some of the best promo work he's ever done, because he just went out there and talked, and he talked like he was talking from the heart.
Right.
You know?
Right. Okay, Kenny Omega versus Alan Angels.
Wait, I got to get this right. What did he say? What did Jericho call him when he came out there? That, what was it? It was from Mask. What's the character from Mask name? The movie. You know the movie I'm talking
about. I do know. Cher.
Cher Mask.
And what's the name of?
You, Rocky Dennis, pumpkin-headed looking Joker. Jericho was just straight killing him. And he was also putting him over. That was the great thing. He's like, first time we got in the ring, it was classic. You know, and he could act like he didn't remember who won the match. Like, I won that match, didn't I?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I probably, you know.
Yeah, and then we kept asking
about him. I beat Kenny Omega every time I've ever faced him.
Every time he's ever faced
him. And Shivani's over there knowing good and well he didn't beat him.
Yeah. Not... Is that how you remember it? Yeah, that's how I remember it. Rocky Dennis. Look it up, folks.
Okay, Jimmy Havoc versus Orange Cassidy. A lot. The only thing that I did hear, going back to that last match, some people were a little irritated that Angel got that much offense in. Well, but it's like, whatever.
Whatever. You got to fill time, and it's Kenny Omega, and I'll watch Kenny Omega matches.
Plus, there was the whole thing of he wasn't really taking it seriously, and then when he did, he put him down with two V-triggers.
Yeah.
Right. Not even his finisher.
Right.
People were big out there and
got a little work.
Oh, shout out to our boy Kenny Omega, because Final Fantasy VII came out last few weeks. And if you know anything about Kenny, his whole finisher, the One-Winged Angel, is named after the character in Final Fantasy VII, Sephiroth. So I'm sure Kenny is very excited. I'm sure he's playing the hell out of it. Good job.
Happy 420 Day, Rob Van Dam.
Rob Van Dam, bring that back.
Gotta bring it up.
Jimmy Havoc versus Orange Cassidy. A lot going on here. Best friends.
Best friends.
Sabian, Penelope.
There was a lot going on.
Why are Jimmy Havoc, Sabian, and Penelope buddies?
Jimmy Havoc's starting a little faction over there. He's kind of the leader of several little, you got little guys.
Of Kip Sabian?
I don't know why.
They're like gothy preps.
Yeah, they're British too.
Preppy goths.
They're British too.
So there's kind of that connection there. You know what I mean? They both like Harry Potter a lot.
Wow.
They do.
Jimmy Havoc, I did not know that about Jimmy Havoc, but it doesn't surprise me.
Actually, I don't know. I know for a fact Kip Sabian, because his like finisher is named like...
Well, the faction is not working incredibly well, because the interference of Penelope and Sabian cost them the match.
Yes, and Jimmy Havoc was destroying him up to that point. I mean,
Right.
I didn't enjoy...
Thanks a lot.
All that. It was so complicated, and again... I think I said this in the group chat, but when it's like an empty stadium, interference is just weird.
Right. How do you miss that guy?
Right. There's, like, yeah.
You don't get the crowd reaction, so when Penelope Ford goes in there and doesn't do a dang thing and costs him the match, it's just weird.
Or why wouldn't you see it coming? There's only seven people here. You can know
immediately, let me make a point to you, though. What happened right before Kip Sabian came through the ring right in front of them and jumped them?
What was that?
They Trent tried to pull Penelope Ford off, and she just fell into a split and looked at him.
Oh, yeah, that was rad.
That would have distracted me.
I would have been...
I'm going to be honest. I would not have seen Kip Sabian coming. I'd be like, that guy? And then I probably would have been like, what hit me?
Right.
That split was awesome. That like, little...
Again, Penelope Ford
is a star. Wardlow versus Johnson. Johnson is not a star yet.
No, but he Wardlow
is
stars.
On his way. Squash looked great.
Stars.
He does the airplane spin move again. Jericho really put him over in this.
Yeah, he did.
He really put him over.
He put everybody over.
Multiple times he said he didn't want to fight him.
Yes.
Which normally, if you're a guy that's a heel, you wouldn't be acting like you're scared of anybody. Jericho's character allows him to have sense.
Yes.
Well, and to say anything he wants to and then go back on it later, too, is another thing he'll do. Yeah. You know? Like when he says he doesn't speak Spanish, and then 5 minutes later, it's like, I speak perfect Spanish there, Giovanni. What does he keep calling him? He doesn't call him
Schivani.
Schivani.
Right. Mr. Brody Lee versus Austin Law. Brody
Mr.
Squash.
Brody Lee.
Gotta have it.
The little promo of whoever
this
it wasn't.
The Brody Lee squash... that set up a squash for another squash.
Yes.
You guys love it.
I do. It was the inception of squashes.
Because when you see Brody Lee after four squash matches, three, however many he's got, you want him in the ring with Marco Stunt next.
Yes, just because you think that he can just, like, hurl this man around like a, like, you know, a hacky sack. Now, you can hacky sack him in the middle of the ring.
You were talking about the backstage segment, though, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was good, the little thing where he's inviting the dude in. Again.
The Heisman Trophy candidate that got hurt or something, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
I don't remember his name.
I don't know who he is either, but.
Yeah.
He was getting trained at the Nightmare Factory with Cody and all
that. Did you notice, and this is a little slight thing, the entrance, there's somebody typing on a computer screen, and then it cuts to, did you see what was typed on the computer screen? I got the first, I didn't go back, but it said, I had the whole world in my hands, and then I lost it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I thought that too. Nice callback.
Nice callback, dude.
To Bray Wyatt. Right,
and Brody's
right.
done that a couple times, and I think he's totally giving Bray credit.
No reason not to.
No reason not to. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and I think they're probably really cool with each other, you know. But I like Brody Lee's character. I like what he's not trying to do Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
He's
Absolutely.
Trying to do
you need to separate, right,
a
right.
different kind of cult leader, and mm-hmm. it's there are numerous types of cult leaders, and he's going Absolutely. For more of the corporate. The yeah. success. I'm selling you success.
Yes.
Right. And that's what, that's, you know, and there's a lot of those people, and they do. And you can go online and see it.
The people who sell you success in this way, though, also, yes. they don't think of themselves as cult leaders.
No.
They do pyramid schemes. They
yes. do, it reminds me of Tom Cruise's character in...
Every freaking football coach... Ever.
Yes.
You're right? What, yes. What is the first... Every press conference you see with a new football coach, he walks in, he says, I'm going to expect excellence across the board in everything the people around me do.
Yes.
We're going to eat breakfast excellent.
Yes.
We're going to go to school
excellent.
Excellence. We're going to... Everything we're going to do. That sounds really, really good when it's your new head coach. If you, like, work at a sports bar like I do and you've heard, like...
You've heard that same speech.
Well... This is the cool thing, right? Okay, on Tuesday after on Monday after the season's over, they fire everybody.
Yes.
In the NFL, and college football's not that different. So then, like, 2 days later, you're getting five or six of these speeches in one day, and it's literally the same sentences. Boom, 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 boom,
yes.
boom, all day long. It's like, oh, who's he the coach for? Oh, he's Arizona State. Oh, they're going to expect excellence in everything they do. Who's he the new coach for? Florida State. Oh, they're going to expect excellence. You know, like,
yes.
you know, every time, you know what I mean? It's so funny. But they don't think of themselves as...
No, uh-uh.
But it's exactly what you're
it's
doing.
It's the mentality you're trying to create.
You're trying to create a...
synergy of people that believe the same thing and that force. And mm-hmm. we've all worked together. You know, and he told him, he said, strength in numbers, you know.
And there's also nothing wrong with expecting a lot out of yourself all
yeah.
the time. That's
did,
the same thing Diamond
the,
Dallas Page is
well,
selling.
Well, did you
it's
see those,
different,
those
you know?
Guys when they came when he came
through
up there?
Through limberness.
It last week, and he showed up in his G-Wagon, and the one guy had the tie on, and the other two guys had the shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he was making a good point.
Get dressed up.
Yeah, stop looking like a jobber, and maybe you won't be a jobber.
The Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
We dress the best. We
yes.
party the hardest. We wrestle the most. We work out the most.
Success is,
we're up
is
early
selling
in the
people that you
out.
Are successful.
Right. Correct.
If you watch Tiger King.
Perception is reality.
There's a character on there who's basically a guy who goes around and sells other people on the fact that he is successful and that he'll make you successful. But he's only successful at...
making you successful.
Looking like he's successful.
Right.
That's what he's good at.
Right. And on to our main event of the evening. Dustin Rhodes is willing to quit if he cannot beat Kip Sabian.
Again, I really
who has
like...
allied himself with his dear friend, Jimmy Havoc, over...
Who else? Who else would he ally himself with, though?
No. You're saying what did they ally themselves over?
Harry Potter.
Right.
Yes.
Right. All right.
I would
there
just
we go.
Like to say again how I admire AEW, because they seem to...
Going all in on Harry Potter?
Going all in on younger talent. And putting people over who haven't had an opportunity and giving them a shot to really shine and go far in these tournaments. Because I'm sure right now that they did not put Dustin over Kip Sabian. Because Kip Sabian's a spectacular wrestler with a huge future in front of him. And Dustin's 51 years old. And we can't really expect him to carry a belt or anything. Wait, is that not what happened?
According to my notes, Dustin wound up going over.
What? Really?
I think the most spectacular move I saw in the We had Dustin Rhodes is a very good wrestler.
He is spectacular. Kip Sabian is a
very good wrestler.
Oh, he's very good.
Penelope Ford, we see very
good. He's the better wrestler than all three of them.
Very good wrestler.
He probably should have won the match.
But the move of the night was Brandi Goldberg-Rhodes. When Penelope Ford decides she's going to interfere, Brandi Goldberg-Rhodes hits the ring with a spear. And it's done, bro.
So what you're telling me is if you have no other real talents as a wrestler, you can make a spear look good?
Yeah. I didn't tell you any of that. I just told you that Goldberg.
Her spear's pretty good. I'll say it.
It's a very good spear.
It is a very good
spear.
And
it took out Penelope Ford and wound up leading to Dustin winning. Saving Dustin's career, mind you.
So, in other words, we buried Kip Sabian. So, you buried one of your up-and-coming male stars.
They did not bury him.
Female.
He didn't get buried. He wrestled.
How many big matches has Kip Sabian won?
Has he won yet?
Thank you for making my point.
So, then he's not getting buried tonight.
He's
following the plot.
They're just putting dirt on him.
You're right. He didn't get buried. He just got hit in the head with a shovel one more time.
He tried to climb
up. His hand got up to the top. It was like AJ. He's like, don't bury me. His hand got up to the top. It's like Danny DeVito. You're like, I'll help you, brother. He's like, no, you won't.
Yeah, exactly.
Get down there, boy.
Okay, my notes. They call us problem child. We spend our life on trial. We walk the endless mile. We are the youth gone wild. That's AEW.
That is AEW, because it's talking about youth and then playing an 80s song.
Skid Row. Dude, what's great, though, is... Okay, first of all, we're done with the wrestling segment, so I just want to tell Sebastian Bakhtang. He has Youth Gone Wild tattooed on his forearm, right? And of
course, Young Bucks?
Yes. And I would guess that it was really good. No, I'm not knocking. Sebastian's who he is. He's funny. But it's funny because he was like on one of the shows, and they were like, why would you have that on your arm? And he rolls up his sleeve, turns it to the crowd, and he goes like this. And I'm pointing at my arm where it would be Youth Gone Wild. And the crowd starts chanting it. And he's like, come on, Youth Gone Wild. Come on. And everybody's like into it. And I'm just looking at it like, because this was like 6 years ago.
Yes.
Sebastian's at that point maybe 48, 49.
Saying he's not a young buck, if you will.
No, he's not a young buck. Did we enjoy Dynamite, though?
I did.
It was. I liked it. I love burying Kip Sabian.
Yes.
I liked it more than
At some point, we need to flip the script, and Kip Sabian needs to be Penelope's manager.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And he can do the Hurricane Radas on the other town.
And they can use Penelope Ford to try to put Brandy over.
Yes, that's what I'm talking
about. Because
that's
what we need, more Brandy wrestling. Because we didn't get enough Brandy doing promos. Now we need Brandy wrestling.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
20 minutes a night.
Seems like monkey business, which is another Skid Row reference. All right, so let's move on. What a great week we had for Justin, for the guy who implied that Stone Cold was at one time dead and is now back to life, Ray.
I did a lot of work this time around.
Thank you so much. Jushin Thunderbrain, KP, appreciate you listening. Copyright 2020, Go Home Heat Production. Go home.